Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting and highlighting business leaders in our area.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X. I am merely the host, Mike Salmon, alongside the vibrant, the wonderful, the... I've run out of adjectives to describe them. Stephen Julian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mike, but I've got a confession to make right up at the start of the show. Mike's worried. For some reason, I keep thinking Subaru of Gwinnett, Atlanta. Subaru of Gwinnett, Atlanta. Why would that be, Mike?
Because Subaru of Gwinnett, Atlanta, thank you for asking. Subaru of Gwinnett is the studio sponsor here, and you're actually looking at the wall that's got their logo plastered all over it.
They have done a fantastic job of updating our studio. So, new banners, new walls, new mic stuff. It looks great.
And the white wall, it kind of brightens the studio as well.
It soothes me quite well. And thank you, Subaru of Gwinnett, Atlanta.
Did you notice they're also on the mic flags?
They are. That's what I said. New mic stands or new mic flaps. Is that what you call
flags.
Them? Flags. Sorry. Yes. I don't know the jargon.
As in patriotism.
Yes. Oh, if only we could talk to somebody about patriotism today.
Well, this is your lucky day, Stephen.
Oh, I can't believe it.
On the show with us today is Pat Stansberry. She's with the National Foundation of Patriotism, and she has a new book out. We're going to talk about that today. Also joining us, the Interface Financial Group, Aaron Riley, is here talking finances and things like that. Right up your alley, Stephen.
I know. If only there was someone who could help small business owners get lending. Oh, wait, we have someone.
And now you need a photographer.
Well, I need a photographer. I need somebody with artwork, and if I could get some metal artwork, you know, that would be fantastic.
Can't help you there, sorry. Actually, to your left, a lady named Mary Buck. She's with Lightscape Photographic Artwork. Her business, also known as Message in a Petal. And we'll find out what all that means.
Man, this is going to be the greatest show ever. And they haven't even started talking yet. I can't wait.
Let's just go ahead and end the show now.
Shut up and you can start the interviews.
All right. So we are broadcasting again from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios, and we are starting off with Pat Stansberry, National Foundation of Patriotism. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, and thank you for having me back.
Oh, absolutely. Tell us about before we get into the book, the National Foundation of Patriotism, tell us about your organization.
I love my job. I have the greatest job in America.
No. Stephen and I don't mean to argue with you to start the show, but Stephen and I have the best job.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, and you are going to be disappointed when I finish. but yes, I do have the greatest job in America. I get to promote patriotism every day. I get to celebrate what's good and right about America every day. And I get to reach about 30,000 people online every day. We reach 47 nations.
Well, what is the essence then of the organization? I mean, how does it work?
The National Foundation of Patriotism is an online entity. We have exhibits on our website that focus on everything about patriotism in America and American life. Many of the exhibits are just focusing on specific topics, such as patriotism in sports, patriotism in music, patriotism in entertainment. The Defenders of Freedom can't have a patriotic website without talking about our soldiers. And the book that we just completed is about American soldiers, actually Vietnam veterans.
When someone is talking about a foundation, the first thing that pops into my mind is maybe a location you go to. And when you start talking about putting out information and all of it being an online entity, is it informational? Is it artistic? Is it research that you've done? I mean, kind of explain. If I go to the website, what am I going to find there?
Actually, you're going to find all of it.
Good.
There is an artistic angle. There is a patriotic flavor to everything that we write about. There's also opportunities for people to share their viewpoints, share their ideas. There's opportunities to join as a member, to join as a virtual volunteer from anywhere in the world. We can join on one of our programs. There's pages for educators, homeschoolers.
So it's also not just a small group of people who are putting stuff out and saying, we want you to think the way we think. It's kind of a come and interact and come and share your opinions and things like that.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because the essence of the National Foundation of Patriotism is not to tell people what it is to be a patriot. We do not throw a flag in your face and say, follow us. We do not do that. The National Foundation of Patriotism is a place for you to recharge your patriotic batteries. you bring your experience. You find something on that site that you enjoy and that you like, and you interact or not.
All right, you mentioned a book. It's called Follow Me. Now, is this a book that you wrote?
This is a book. It's a collaborative book that I coordinated. It is about the most successful class of officers candidate school that came out of Fort Benning, Georgia. It was they graduated in 1965, and they're about to celebrate their 50th reunion. There are over 60 writers in this book, and we basically gave these Vietnam veterans a voice for them to speak about themselves. What's important about this book is this class is the most successful class that came out of in the history of Fort Benning, of the officers' candidate school at Fort Benning. They are Pulitzer Prize-winning authors. They're state senators. They are there's a myriad of successful people coming out of this class. And so we gave them an opportunity to tell us things that we want to know about them.
Is it the book about their careers post-Vietnam, or is it about Vietnam itself?
No, it's about post. We've heard a lot about Vietnam. We all have an image in our minds about the Vietnam veteran. And I'm the sister of a Vietnam veteran. So this is really close to my heart. My first brush with patriotism was at 7 years old. My brother came home from war. Nobody talked about it. He came back a skeleton of the man that I knew. He was much older than me. I was 7, obviously, so he was much older than me. He got out of a cab. Nobody picked him up. He went to pay the driver, and the driver threw the money back in his face and said, "Keep your money, baby killer." And that was my first brush with patriotism in America. My son, many years later, became a West Point officer, and I really wanted him to come back to a more grateful America than my brother did in 1967. And so that's why I say I have the greatest job in America, because I get to create something and to work on something and enhance something and have people join me in celebrating what's good and right about America. If you want to know what's bad about America, turn on the TV. Talk to people on the street. But if you really want to think about and finally get a chance to look at some unique ways to celebrate patriotism, this is a great place to do it.
So I need to clarify one quick question. We were so passionate about the book and wanting to know what it's about. Give us the title exactly of what the book is.
The title is Follow Me, which is the motto of the class of 465. And the tagline for the book is How Vietnam War Era Veterans Found Success and Led a Nation by Example.
Now, so let me focus on that topic of success, because when you first started talking about it, I thought, oh, success in the class, success in war, but it even goes beyond that. And so you're talking about kind of how each of them have lived their lives as a successful life. So let me ask the question, what were some of the parameters of what you found to be their success and how they viewed their success? Was it all their positioning? Was it all what they've learned? Was it all how they've lived? Kind of what were some of those stories? Give us some of the stories of success.
Well, this is the reason why I got excited about this project. When we started talking to these men, there were certain common denominators that were so interesting. And then there were certain things that were widely different. And that fascinated me. That fascinates me about people in general. And so, but what got me excited about this project was the fact that there was the common denominators made a lot of sense from the standpoint of success. Many of them met their high school sweethearts, married them, and are still married today. That's a success. In any society, that's a success, but particularly by today's standards. That was really interesting to me. The other thing that they all did, of course, they came through Officers Candidate School, and if you're not familiar with it, look it up online. That is a seriously difficult challenge to come through. They graduated. Obviously, many of them went to war. Some of them did not. Some of them they served in our country, but they went in other places. They didn't go to Vietnam. The founder of the National Foundation of Patriotism graduated that class, and he didn't go to Vietnam. He served in Germany during the Vietnam conflict, so actually a little bit before it. But the other really interesting things about these people, what they learned in officers' candidate school about dealing with people, not just necessarily how to shoot guns and how to, you know, hide and do whatever you see them do on television movies about Vietnam. They learned to understand how people think how to reason and how to get people on your side, how to persuade people to think differently, open their minds, and become, you know, cohesive. That was interesting to me because as they went through their business lives, they had to do those very same things that they learned in the military. One of the things that concerns me about America is every once in a while, if I bother to turn on the TV, and I try not to do it too much anymore, I hear people talk about, you know, you better get your college education, kids, or you're going to end up in the Army. I've heard that too many times. This is an opportunity for us to show America that our defenders of freedom, which, by the way, are 100% volunteers, aren't stupid. And they can be productive citizens, and they can live successful lives. So Follow Me is an opportunity to give my brother back some dignity from what he suffered during the war years. And now he can go on. And as a matter of fact, he does a tremendous thing. He, when he was in the Vietnam War, he didn't open it. He helped raise money to develop an orphanage for the refugee children. So the so-called baby killers that everybody talked about were actually baby savers. And he was directly involved with the orphanage, raising money to save these children. And he recently went back in October and met with the same nun that he started the orphanage with and is working on a collaborative effort there. And there'll be a PBS special in 2016 to talk about that effort. But it's a wonderful, wonderful story that gives us a totally refreshed and accurate account of our Vietnam veterans. The reason we think this is important, we are still in a conflict. We don't hear a lot about it, but we're still in a conflict. And we need to honor our soldiers. They're the ones who not only defend our freedom, but they defend the freedom of others.
No question about it. We're listening with to Pat Stansberry with the National Foundation of Patriotism. The name of the book is Follow Me. And I would think, looking at some of the notes on the book, the readers that would be interested in this book, you don't have to be interested in military or war. If you're interested in business, it sounds like there's a lot you can learn from this book.
There is a lot you can learn, and I even made it easy for you. At the end of the book, we got a top 10 list. If you want to find success the way they found success, you can read their actual excerpts of what these men said. They're not my words, they're their words. Opportunity again to give the microphone to them, let them have a voice, and let them tell America how, you know, whether or not they're really gave America something to be proud of.
Right. Is the book available now? If not, when will it be available? Where can we find it?
The book is at the printer right now, and we were told it'll be out in 2 weeks. You can find it on the National Foundation of Patriotism website, www.foundationofpatriotism.org.
And do proceeds of the book, I understand, there's a special cause?
It is. We actually, the proceeds go to continue the work of the National Foundation of Patriotism, but some of the proceeds also go to the USO, and a portion of the proceeds go to the Atlanta Vietnam Veterans Business Association.
When you started and we were asking you about the National Foundation of Patriotism and how it is an online virtual patriotic community, is this the first book that's going out from the website, or are there other things that have been, other projects that have been done in the past that are more than just being on the website you have to pay for and they benefit? Are there any other of those projects? Or is this the first of what we hope are maybe a couple other projects that would go out from the website?
Well, we certainly sell a lot of things on the website. Well, basically, obviously, patriotic type things. This is the first book that the National Foundation of Patriotism has written in its name and is promoting.
And the website is free to join and look at, and there's plenty to kind of whet the appetite before you go spend money and read the book, correct?
No question about it.
All right.
We got to stop the show. I got to go do and look at this website and spend some time there.
Well, I have so many more questions, but unfortunately, we're out of time. So I apologize for that. But give the website once again. And, you know, if you're a listener of Business Radio X, is there any kind of special?
There is. We will give a 25% discount to Radio X listeners. When you go to the website and you order your book, I'll have a special place on there where you can put Radio X as a code, and that'll give you your discount.
Ooh, secret code.
There you go.
Yeah, we love secret codes.
Pat, give us the website once again so everybody knows exactly where to go.
www.foundationofpatriotism.org.
Great. Pat, thanks for stopping by and sharing the information.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Pat Stansberry with the National Foundation of Patriotism, and the book is called Follow Me. It'll be out soon. Just go to the website for all the information, and the website again is foundationofpatriotism.org. All right. Thank you so much, Pat. Our next guest here on Business Radio X from our beautiful new Subaru of Gwinnett Studios.
Everybody looked at me when you said that, Mike.
Part of the deal with Subaru,
yes,
is that you're supposed to actually have it on your forehead.
Oh.
And you apparently forgot today.
Well, you forgot it on your hat, so we'll have to
next
work
show
on that. Yeah,
next
but
show.
I'm still soothed by looking at Subaru Gwinnett Atlanta.
There you go. Aaron Riley is with us with the Interface Financial Group. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us about the Interface Financial Group.
Well, we are a company who provides working capital to small businesses who may or may not be able to qualify for bank financing by purchasing a portion of their accounts receivable on an as-needed basis, and that provides them with the cash they need up front to continue to expand and prosper.
I've heard about this before. Is this something fairly new? How long has this been around?
Actually, our company has been around since 1972.
Wait,
is that fairly new to you, Mike?
No, not quite. So this concept has been around for a long time.
It has. It's not a well-known process because most small businesses, when they need money, go to the bank.
Right.
But we're there to fill in the gaps if they can't get their financing from the banks.
All right. So how does it work? Do you service just certain areas? Are you nationwide?
Yes. I'm glad you asked that. We have over 100 offices across the United States, as well as another 50 offices in 8 other countries outside of the U.S.
Wow. International. So you mentioned that people come to you when after they go to the bank. So I'm a small business owner. Talk about my process and what the bank is looking for and why the bank might not always be the best source of capital, and therefore why coming to you is a good alternative for a small business owner.
Okay, well, we predominantly service B2B companies, so companies that are selling their products and services, at least a portion of them, to other businesses, and ones that do that on a payment term, so they don't get paid right away. When small businesses go to a bank for a loan, generally they have to be in business for at least 2 years before they can do that. Other times that we're helpful to companies, the small businesses, is when they hit a growth spurt. They may have maxed out that line of credit or maxed out their ability to get a loan. That's where we can step in and hopefully help them out.
How does your service compare to other alternate funding type services?
Well, we have what we like to call the invoice finance marketplace. And what I mean by that is not only am I and my company putting money in on every single transaction that we do with the clients, but we also have institutional investors who participate and put their money in as well, which is why we're able to provide funding anywhere from $10,000 up to $10 million in any one individual transaction.
So for these B2B companies that are your typical client, sounds like, Aaron, they obviously need to have some receivables, a lot of receivables. So you're kind of putting yourself out there a little bit as well, because you want to make they if that company doesn't get paid, you're not getting paid.
Right. And that's where we could help out with the clients in picking invoices that they have with customers who are reputable. So generally, we're more concerned about their end customer, whether they are a company. And a lot of times with the businesses we help out, their end customer is a larger company than they are.
Aaron, when companies come to you and they're looking for alternative funding, what are some of the situations that you've found them in? You kind of mentioned they've maxed out their, they've maxed out their line of credit and stuff. So is it more that, hey, I'm got a strategic opportunity and I really need to take advantage of this opportunity? All the way down to, in my mind, one of the things that comes to my mind is I'm just trying to keep the doors open. What are some of the main circumstances you come across? And what are some of the best circumstances for small business owners that they need to be calling you?
Well, one of the biggest barriers to growth for small businesses is that they don't have access to cash. They're constantly waiting on getting paid by their customers, and they're constantly being asked to pay their suppliers or their providers. For us, where we're able to provide the most value is generally a growth company, somebody who's experiencing tremendous growth. They're still a small business, but they have their sights set on being a larger business, and they just can't do it without having the cash there. The other thing we can help out is, I mentioned before that some companies, before they're 2 years old, they can't necessarily get a loan, or not at least the size that they would like. So a company that's been in business, let's say 4 months, and they've got good business going and they want to continue that, then we're the ones that can step in and help.
So to make it very simple, you're getting them the cash that they should be getting. You're just getting it to them faster.
Correct. So what we'll do is we'll purchase the invoice from them, and we will provide them a certain percentage up front so they have access to that cash. And then at the end, when the customer pays, we get our fee and give them the small remainder after that.
Does your client, do they still invoice their clients, or do you take over the invoicing?
So that's where we differ a little bit from some of the other companies in the industry. A traditional factoring company would be the name of what you may be asking about. They typically take over the entire invoicing process and collections and accounts receivable management. We're more of a use it as you need it service. So if they want to sell us one invoice one time and never see us ever again, that's perfectly fine. Or if they just need help every once in a while, we can help as well.
I have a question for you. I've owned several small businesses, and I'm asking this question because I think that it's one that needs to be asked. When is the best time for a small business owner to contact you? Because when I was in business, waiting till I was to the point where I was desperate was never a time when I would make the best choices. So at what point do you suggest a small business owner actually contact you in the process?
Well, probably like any business, the earlier the better. We can help them out in any number of situations, but I guess the ideal thing would be if they had the foresight to know that they were going to want to expand and that they probably wouldn't be able to get that financing from the bank. Talking to someone such as myself would be a good idea so they can have us in the hopper if they ever need us.
So would you say at a point maybe where they were the business was starting to run them, is that a good place for them to start thinking, maybe I better talk to somebody?
Absolutely, especially if they find themselves having a lot of people calling them asking for money and not having a lot of checks coming in because their customers are taking their time paying them.
Yeah, so if they need the money like tomorrow, to call you today, say, I need it tomorrow, that's not going to work. But generally, how quickly can they get funding?
Dependent upon the data that we need from them, initially it can take generally about a week, but after the first funding, we can do it in as little as 24 hours.
It sounds like if I'm a small business owner and I'm starting to get into a phase of growth, as soon as I start to see that growth happen, it's a good idea to start looking at least what's out there and start the relationship. If they can get most of the paperwork done ahead of time and just kind of, I like what you said, as needed basis. So you should always be exploring what's out there as a small business owner. I mean, would you agree that As you're changing your planning and as you're looking at growing, it's probably a good idea to at least start a conversation with you and see what's out there?
Absolutely. We have a one-page application. We do a 20-minute phone call and decide if it's something that they're interested in. They fill that out, give us a little bit of information on their company. We have a couple conversations, and then that's it. So there's no pressure, no long-term contracts, no minimums or anything. So to your point, it can't hurt to at least try it out.
Well, and I think that's good. Obviously, what you're talking about, a one-page and a 20-minute conversation, and you said no pressure. So that led me into this question. I wanted to ask this question. You guys are in alternative funding. Okay, I think if we're sitting in a room full of business owners, they're all listening to this show, and when you say alternative funding, I'd love to know what your thought of the percentage of business owners who go, you know, or they have horrible images, right? Because there's connotations around that phrasing. So like the sign of Subaru of Gwinnett, Atlanta, that soothes me, I'm going to give you the chance to soothe the room of business owners and let them know, and you've done it already with a lot of your answers, but give us some nice warm fuzzies about how we shouldn't be scared of that term.
Well, I would say that there are a myriad of different versions of alternative funding.
And that's what causes the problem, right? Because there are some bad apples in that bunch.
Absolutely, unfortunately. You can probably say that about a lot of industries.
You can say that about any industry, Aaron, okay? don't martyr yourself too much there. Every industry has bad apples. So talk about why you're the good apples and the good apples in that industry.
Well, one thing that attracted me to the Interface Financial Group joining this organization is that it truly is no pressure. So you can fill out the application. If you get approved, it's your choice if you ever want to sell us any invoices. There's no hidden fees. We tell you exactly up front what it's going to cost you, and it's your choice.
You mentioned earlier, and we're talking with Aaron Riley with the Interface Financial Group here on Gwinnett Business Radio. You mentioned doing business with B2B companies. Are there other typical industries that you like to do business with or have found yourself doing a lot of business with?
Well, we do business, like I said, with B2B companies. Pretty much any company that provides a portion of their products or services to other businesses on payment terms. But where we got our start 43 years ago was actually in the construction industry, which is fairly unique in the financing world. Most financing companies won't touch construction, but that's where we got our start because there were subcontractors out there who couldn't move on to the next project until they got paid by the general contractor or construction firms that were in the same boat. So by us buying the invoices on the front end, they can expand and go on to that next project and not have to wait until they get paid.
And you mentioned you are attracted to the company for a lot of the reasons that you've already explained. Tell us about Aaron yourself and your background.
Sure. My background, I have a accounting and finance kind of a background. I've been in several different industries. I guess self-diagnosed ADD kind of a person that I get bored easily. So I've been in the energy industry, banking software, retail, manufacturing, you name it. So that's kind of where I got my taste of wanting to help out small businesses.
And the company's been around for a while. So you have a track record. I mean, obviously that says a lot right there.
Absolutely. They started out, in like I said, in construction, and they've grown to where we're in a total of 9 countries now. So.
Great stuff. For Aaron, for those out there that would like to find out more, maybe look into using your services, where can they get all this information?
They can either call me directly or they can go to the website, which is probably easier, www.interfacefinancial.com. And if they want to see my specific information, they just add a /Riley, R-I-L-E-Y, to the end of that.
Easy enough. Aaron Riley with the Interface Financial Group, thanks so much for your time and explaining it. And, you know, it's something that I never understood at all, and now I have a real clear picture. Thank you so much.
Sure, and go Subaru of Gwinnett, Atlanta.
Well
extra
done,
extra points
Aaron.
For that all as right. well. There you go. You know, and I forgot to mention at the end of Pat's talk about the National Foundation of Patriotism, Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots of the NFL, after they won the Super Bowl, he always says, "We are all patriots." And I was going to ask Pat, who's your favorite NFL team? Because I'm a Patriot fan. So I was hoping she might say Falcons, which would be the safe answer.
But now you've told her what her answer needs to be. So.
Were you aware of that? Robert Kraft, when he wins this, they won now, what, 5 Super Bowls?
I don't know, Mike.
He always says we are all, you know, thanks to the Patriot Nation, says we are all Patriots.
I would be remiss not to love the Patriots, so I have to stand in honor of patriotism. But I have to say this. I think that sports is an incredible demonstration of patriotic pride. So I love all the NFL teams.
Oh, that was a very patriotic answer. And she didn't go to deflated ball jokes, so that's good.
There you go. Hey, let me interrupt the program right now to tell you that Speed Pro Imaging in Marietta helps businesses stand out by providing high-quality large graphics. If you can imagine it, they can make it. As the industry leader for large-scale printing, they deliver impactful messages that share a message, attract attention, and reinforce your brand. To find out more, visit speedpromarietta.com. And as you can guess, they're the one that did all the Subaru of Gwinnett graphics here in the studio.
They did a great job.
First class operation. Checking them out. Liddy Brown is one of the co-owners, along with Karen Brown. So again, it's speedpromarietta.com. Our third and final guest, last but not least here on the program, Mary Buck. Her company is called Lightscapes Photographic Artwork, also doing business as Message in a Pedal. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Tell us about your company, Lightscapes Photographic Artwork. Obviously, photography and so forth. Tell us the details.
Well, Message in a Pedal is a division of Lightscapes Photographic Artwork. And Message in a Pedal is inspirational art that is printed on metal. And what I did was I married my love of flower photography with inspirational quotes into a line of wall decor that is really ideal for homes, offices, and outdoor spaces.
All right. You just kind of glossed right by. You do this on metal. How do you do that?
Well, that's a really good question. I actually outsource the printing. The printing is not done with your typical desktop printer. It's a special process. And it's a special technology. And to tell you the truth, I don't really want to do that. So I outsource my printing to
smart lady.
I outsource my printing to a couple different labs in the United States. Everything is made in America. And then they drop ship the artwork to my customers.
Now, are these messages and is this artwork, is this stuff you design and then try to find clients who go, ooh, I like that? Or do you work with clients who say, this is kind of what I'm looking for, and you show them, you know, you go with what they want and kind of design it, and then they go, oh, that's perfect, and how does it work? Do they come to you or do you make it and then people go, wow, I want that?
Well, I have a couple different options in how customers can order the artwork. So I do have all of the designs already pre-made. And then the customer has the option of ordering it with the quote, my quote. They can add their own quote, or they can order it without an inspirational quote at all.
Now, how did you get involved in photography? What attracted you to that?
Well, I actually started a photography such a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you the year, but I will tell you that I became interested in photography when I was about 18 years old.
So it wasn't that long ago then.
No. I'm 39 now, yeah, so it wasn't that long ago. But this is an interesting story. My brother is a professional photographer, and he was working as a photographer when I was 18. When he found out his little sister was interested in photography, he came over and showed me all of his toys, and he kind of lured me into the world of photography. And ever since then, I've been hooked. So I do want to say, Brad, if you are listening, I want to thank you for the impact that you have had on my life, because you are still my mentor.
Well, if he's not listening right now, we'll make sure we send him the show. We'll just email it off to him.
Yeah, he needs to get it so he can listen. So I wanted to ask this. You know, going back to message in a petal, it says on your card, print it on metal, metallic paper, or canvas. So kind of talk about the spectrum of what we can get these messages on.
Okay, well, those, again, are other options. Customers can order on different types of mediums. The first one I'm going to talk about is metal. Now, I like metal because it rhymes with petal. So that's my little catchy phrase, inspirational art printed on metal. But what I really like about metal is that metal prints can be displayed outdoors. They're very resilient. They're fade resistant. They're resistant to water. They're resistant to any type of heat or cold. So they can be displayed in outdoor patios, outdoor porches, outdoor kitchens. They can even be displayed on outdoor fireplaces. Now, the other option I have is metallic paper. And that's a special type of photography paper. It has the same look and feel as metal, but it's less expensive. And the third option is canvas. So that would be your traditional canvas wrap. And that really is an option for a customer who wants more of a traditional look rather than a contemporary look.
Now, how big or small can these pieces be?
I offer three sizes. I have a small size, medium size, and large size. The largest is 24 by 36. And that's the size everybody should get.
Mary, I've got a great question for you.
Yes, go ahead.
We get communication all the time about communities that don't let people fly American flags. Since it's outdoor ready, do you do any patriotic images?
Right now I don't, but you just gave me a great idea.
Well, condos, apartments, and homes in communities where they won't let you fly a flag, you can still show your patriotism with your beautiful art.
That's a great idea.
So you can hang something
you.
on the porch or the deck that they don't allow flag. Yeah.
Now, so you said at the very beginning, and it is called message in a petal.
Because message on a canvas doesn't rhyme.
Right. Well, message in a petal on metal. I like it. So right now what you've been using is the flower photography? That's what you've kind of married with the inspirational messages?
Flowers and landscapes, and I've also now really getting drawn to abstract photography, so I'm going to start concentrating on that.
Right. So and really what I think I've heard you say is if someone said, I want this kind of image, you can make it happen with your photography background.
I can definitely make it happen.
Where do you see yourself 3-5 years from now? Where do you want to take the business?
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to have more portals for sales. I plan on opening an Amazon store next year. And I'd also like to continue to expand my product line with a concentration on abstract photography. And in further down the line, 3 to 5 years, possibly start to license my artwork.
What's hot right now? What's the big trending thing that you see that has been real popular for you?
There's a couple trends. I do follow home decor trends, mostly because of my interest in Pinterest. So I'm just going to talk about a couple of them. The first one is Made in America. That is huge right now. And my product is Made in America from conception to completion.
You better say that or Pat's going to come across the table
right
after you.
Yes, Made in America. Second of all is incorporating nature into home decor. That's gotten to be really popular with textures and tones and different types of colors. So I feel as if my artwork is perfect for, you know, following that trend. And lastly is there's now a huge trend for outdoor living spaces. Outdoor kitchens are huge. There is a home builder in Atlanta, Chafin Homes, and they are now offering an option for an outdoor living area. And because my artwork can be displayed outdoors, I feel it's perfect for following that trend as well.
So you've talked a little bit about home decor, and we are Business Radio X, so we have a lot of business leaders who listen. Talk a little bit about business decor. When you say inspirational messages, the first thing I think of are the tired old posters with the, you know, patience and endurance, which were great 25 years ago. So talk a little bit about, a little bit of visioning for business workspaces and what they could use.
I do believe that my artwork would be really well suited in an office and commercial space. I believe some of the quotes that I have would be perfect for motivation and for inspiration. One of my favorite quotes is from Eleanor Roosevelt, "Believe you can and you're halfway there." And I have that on a beautiful photograph of a flower. So, I mean, that's something that I would like to look at every day.
And that's what I was going to say. Combine that with the landscape, the floral photography, or even abstract. A business could have a great pattern there. So there you go. Some of the people listening need to call.
Now, Mary, you have something you brought with you sitting behind you. If you could pull it up and show us, and we'll take a photo of this, and we'll tweet it out, and we'll take the photo after the show, Trey, but we'll tweet it out on at Gwinnett Radio X, and tell us about this piece of art. And that is on, now that's, is that actual metal, or is that the less expensive
metallic
metal paper?
Yeah.
No, this is metal. It's actually aluminum metal, so you can see it's very thin, it's very lightweight. Wow. It can be hung very easily. It can also be hung with just Velcro because it's so lightweight. But you can see that this type of metal, it's very vibrant and very luminescent. It actually shimmers in the natural light. So it's a really, really nice type of material, and I love the metal reason.
And when you mentioned the outdoor spaces, so that's perfect because if it does get wet from rain or what, I mean, you're fine.
You're fine. All you have to do is wipe it with the cloth. That's all you have to do.
And that's the 24 by 36?
This one is 16 by
24. Okay, so that's the medium.
That's the medium size.
But how much does something like that weigh? I mean, you said it's so light. I mean, that's got to be...
See for yourself.
Oh, my goodness. This is like just a few ounces. I don't want to hurt it. You guys want, can I pass it around?
Go ahead and pass it around.
So outdoor, it's resilient to weather, and you said you can hang it with Velcro?
That is actually one of my favorite images. I photographed that at Gibbs Gardens, which is a beautiful botanical gardens up in Ball Ground, Georgia. And a lot of photography is just standing in the right place and being in the moment. And when I saw this scene, I snapped the picture, and the first thing that I thought of, and I actually gave that title to this photograph, is that God is a designer, because I really didn't have to do that much but take the picture.
He did all the work.
But you can see, I mean, for those of you who can't see it, you can look at it on my website, but it has all the elements of a great piece of artwork.
Trey's already hanging it up in the studio. He's like, can we keep this here? I think it has to go back to Mary's home, unfortunately.
No, I'm sure it's for sale.
Oh, well.
It is for sale. Yes, it's for sale.
Okay, well, let me ask you, again, a beautiful piece like this, about how much is something like this?
That runs $150 plus shipping.
That's
and right
fantastic.
Now I am having 25% off all my artwork until the end of April.
Well, go ahead and give us the website where folks can see some of this great work.
The website is www.messageinapetal.com.
Great. Mary, thank you so much for joining us. Mary,
thank you
Buck,
for having me.
Again, the company is Lightscapes Photographic Artwork, doing business as Message in a Petal. And appreciate her joining us. Want to thank Mary Buck for joining us on the show. Also want to thank Aaron Riley with the Interface Financial Group. And Pat Stansberry, you want to go ahead and give some more quick information?
Very quickly. I would be remiss if I let me out of the studio without thanking our publishers. Bob Babcock, his wife Jan, and his son Mark. They are an excellent company. They helped us bring this book to print within a couple of months with over 60 writers involved. So I got to give a plug to Bob and Jen, and thank you for letting me do that.
Okay, so you're not in trouble anymore. You're good to go.
I'm good to go.
All right. Real quick before we go today, I want to let everybody out there know, as we've been talking about, Subaru of Gwinnett has come on as a partner here at the Gwinnett Business Radio X studio. We appreciate their support. Earlier, they had a check presentation there at their dealership, which, is, by the way, is literally across the street from us here in Duluth off Satellite Boulevard. And they gave a nice check for $6,948 to Rainbow Village. Rainbow Village does wonderful work for families and kids here in Gwinnett County. And I had a chance to talk with Karen LaFontaine. She's the development director with Rainbow Village. Nancy Yancey, who is the CEO of Rainbow Village. Pat Allen is the district sales manager of Subaru of America, and Jennifer Kessler is the sales manager for Subaru of Gwinnett. And I had a chance to be there for the check presentation, and as soon as they handed over the check, we had a nice conversation. And for those that were not there, here's that conversation.
Rainbow Village is a community for homeless families with children of North Metro Atlanta. They live with us for up to 2 years to try to get back on their feet and to have a healthy life going forward.
Karen, tell us all about this wonderful gift you received today from Subaru.
Well, we're absolutely thrilled. At the office today, we were talking in staff meeting about how we're transitioning three families out of our transitional housing and support services in the next 30 days, and this will allow us room to bring in new families and help them as well.
Pat, this is a wonderful gift, part of the Share the Love program. Tell us about the program that Subaru participates in.
Share the Love is a year-end sales event that we've been doing now for 7 years, with the objective being to give our consumers the opportunity to donate funds out of Subaru's pocket to what has been traditionally for the 7 years, national organizations. And then last year in 2013, we allowed the local retailers to choose a partner that they would like to help the community. And it grew in 2014 with Rainbow Village being Subaru of Gwinnett's choice for 2 years. And it falls under the umbrella of what Subaru calls the Love Promise, which is basically our commitment to partner with the communities that we live and work in to make them a better place.
And Jennifer, as the manager here, you chose Rainbow Village. Why Rainbow Village?
I chose Rainbow Village because it's here in Duluth, close by, and it helps kids and families. And we really like that it doesn't just help the children for a short time. It teaches them things that will help them for their whole lives, and it teaches the whole family. And so we really, I think that's a great thing to be a part of, and we're really excited to do this for Rainbow Village.
All right, so a wonderful check presentation recently at Subaru of Gwinnett. So not only are they supportive of the business community, as you can see here in our own studio, but by giving back to the community, specifically Rainbow Village in this case. Congratulations to Rainbow Village, and well done to Subaru of Gwinnett. All right, want to thank them for joining, for allowing us to participate in that check presentation. Also a reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Radio Business X programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. You can also download any of our shows on iTunes. As I mentioned earlier, follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X, and like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X as well. Stephen, any parting words today?
You know, there's nothing more amazing or patriotic about America than American ingenuity of taking photography and putting it on metal. And there's nothing more American than growing your business and needing a little lending. So I loved our guest today, and it's a very patriotic theme.
Well done again to all our guests, Mary Buck, Aaron Riley, and Pat Stansberry. We hope you enjoyed the show. For Stephen and our producer, Trey Odom, I'm Mike Salmon, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.